Welcome once more to Oxcast, your weekly roundup of what's on in Oxford. As we used to say on our packets of promotional condoms, if it's on, it's in.
We've got a packed podcast for you today. We've got film and food and theatre as well. And we also have Daily Info's pick of the week, as usual. And this week we're focusing on National Pride.
That's right. And of course, as always, if you want any more details on anything we mention in the podcast, just check out dailyinfo.co.uk. I'm Alwyn Collinson.
I'm Emma Pearson.
And let's kick it off with Food in a Film, our regular segment where we discuss new releases in Oxford cinemas and pair them with a suggested restaurant to round out your evening, which is thematically appropriate, of course, for the new film, because you cannot eat a meal unless it somehow jibes with the content of the film you've just seen. Yeah, exactly. It would give me indigestion, personally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What about beginning with The Pirates? Now, what exactly is the title of this film?
I think it is The Pirates in an Adventure with Scientists, but I think it's different in the US, so it's very confusing when you Google it.
Ah, okay, fair enough. But you have actually seen this, haven't you?
I have seen it. It's a bit weird, the title, because it seems like it's The Pirates is the thing, and then it's this is one film in a set, Adventure with Scientists. Mm-hmm. But it's a joke in the film that they've had adventures before, and there's the adventure with the librarians, and there's the adventure with the pig and things. And this is
was the adventure
one.
With the librarians a bit dull?
It's just in a picture on the captain's wall, so you don't see much about
enough.
It, but probably yes.
And it's claymation,
it is. Yeah, it's like Wallace and Gromit. Mm-hmm. And it's really good fun. I really
Excellent.
Liked it.
And with Hugh Grant in it, well,
yes.
Voicing it, I presume.
Yes, Hugh Grant is the main pirate captain with a very luxurious beard. And kind of self-deprecating Hugh Grant type mannerisms.
Oh gosh, crikey, gosh, that sort of thing. Yeah.
It's very Wallace and Gromit in just the relationship between the two main characters. The pirate captain is very Wallace, and number two, the first mate, is what Gromit would be like if he could talk and was a pirate.
I have often wondered what dogs would be like if they were pirates.
Quite. But yeah, it's very good fun. It's got Charles Darwin. David Tennant is Charles Darwin.
Wow, that actually is the first thing you've said that honestly makes me want to see it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Wallace and Gromit. I think it's great. But I think ever since the carrot one, the one with the were-rabbit.
The were-rabbit, do you not like that?
I just think it's been on a downward slope. They're trying too hard, really. Yeah, I think there was this kind of quirky humour like that worked very well with the kind of shorter format of the earlier ones. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just thought maybe they'd, the studios, Aardman Studios, aren't they? They sold out almost a little bit, but this, honestly...
I know what you mean a bit, I do really love the early ones, but I think they work in film format as well. It's like they're going to the big screen and it's...
Yeah, okay, it's fair enough. And you thought it was worth sitting through?
Yes, definitely.
All right, then. And, of course, this week also sees...
The re-release of Titanic, and this time in glorious 3D.
Yes, sorry. Yes, Titanic, boy meets girl, ship sinks. I've never actually seen this film.
You've never seen Titanic?
No, despite the fact it was for a long time the most popular film in the world.
How did you manage not to see it?
Well, I didn't see it when it first came out because someone described a scene where some steerage class passengers are sort of trapped behind a cage or something and they're all dying in the water. Mm-hmm. And they said I'd be really freaked out. So I was probably about, 9 to 11, something like that, when it first came out.
Something like that.
So I decided not to go along. And ever since then, it's just the kind of film that I... Like, all these big famous ones, like, for example, Gone with the Wind, or The Sound of Music, or It's a Wonderful Life, none of these I've seen. And I think that's because they're just not on, basically. You have to go out of your way to see them, because everyone assumes that you saw them when you were a child.
I guess so, yes. I mean, I think it's a really good thing to see the first time, because it just sort of carries you along with it. It's that kind of swooping music, swooping...
Brad Pitt. No, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, Brad Pitt is in Titanic, Alwyn, yes.
Yeah. He's an unnamed passenger dying in the stage. So, Leo DiCaprio, of course, made his career, really, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so, pretty much.
And do you think he looks as good in 3D?
Well, I haven't seen it in 3D, so I've only ever seen him in 2D form, really.
I think most of us have. He's not a mate, he doesn't pop around on an evening. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it? If I had a famous friend, I'd introduce him to all my ordinary friends as Bill. Just this is my mate Bill. He does look like him, doesn't he?
So we're going to need a restaurant recommendation with a nautical theme for Titanic, presumably.
Absolutely.
So this might not be easy because Oxford is really far from the sea.
Yes.
About as far as you can get from the sea in England.
Yes. considering we are a very, very small island, it's quite an accomplishment.
It is. So, what are we going to go for?
Well, I think that despite all that, Oxford does have one really good seafood restaurant, which is Fisher's on St. Clement's.
I would agree with you.
And I think Fisher's is absolutely fantastic. The quality of the seafood is really, really good. And they also do really quite good deals on lunches and stuff like that, and early dining.
Dinners, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
That is really good. If you get in before 7:45, is it?
Something like that.
You get in before then, you can have the early meal. Mm. And they bring you a little plate of anchovies to begin with.
Oh, I love that, yeah. And really just nice. Like some of the best seafood I've ever had, like whitebait, for example. I love whitebait. But you know, you tend to get that kind of weird, slightly sour tang in whitebait. Sort of almost a slightly bitter taste when you eat the head. What? I think that's in part because most of the whitebait you eat are a little bit, you know, not old, but they're, you know, they're past their immediate point of freshness. Fisher's whitebait are so fresh and clean.
How does Fisher's get its really fresh fish there, we were saying, it being so far from the sea?
They have these astonishing vehicles available to them, Emma, which are called trucks.
Oh, wow.
And what these do is they run on an interesting thing called an internal combustion engine that burns petrol, allowing them to move at speeds of up to 70 or 80 miles an hour.
I see, so it's magic, right?
Magic, essentially. Also, of course, Oxford does have a lot of canals with overflowing with whitebait and lobster and so forth. We think we should move on to our next film.
Okay, yes. So this is a slightly more unusual cinema suggestion. This Sunday at 5:30 p.m. in Corpus Christi College, there will be a special screening of a film called Fordson. And it's a documentary from America. It's about a football team from an all-Muslim school in the wake of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Which, because they're Muslim, is suffering a fair amount of hostility and suspicion. And it's been highly praised by lots of people, including Michael Moore, who sort of likes that sort of thing. And
gosh, you sound very disapproving.
No, not at all. I approve of Michael Moore.
Okay.
And the screening is run by the Oxford Islamic Society, and all the money raised is going to charity Spires to Wells.
Spires to Wells. I like that. It's a very descriptive title for a charity, isn't it? Oxford-based, money, Wells.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah.
So good. That sounds really interesting.
It does, actually. And I think this is the sort of film that is never, ever going to get a general release in the UK.
Yeah.
So frankly, you know, if that sounds interesting, their tagline is faith, fasting, football, which I really like. head along to Corpus Christi College on Sunday. So I guess that means we need a Muslim food recommendation.
Muslim food.
What's wrong with Muslim food? I like Muslim food.
Yes. Well, Middle Eastern food, maybe.
Middle Eastern food, yes. I suppose you're right. There is, after all, actually no... There's no... Well... You are the one who's taking Arabic classes. There is no such thing, am I right, as Muslim culture, basically. There is Middle Eastern culture.
There's Muslim culture, I think.
Yeah.
But you could say halal food is Muslim food, I expect.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Of course, I don't mean that people who are from Muslim backgrounds don't have culture. What I mean is that Islam is such a broad religion that it'd be like saying Christian culture. You have American culture and European culture and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think so, that's true.
So what about some good Middle Eastern food, for example?
Okay, well, there's the new Turkish Grill, Oxford Turkish Grill on Cowley Road,
yeah.
And there's Al Salam, of course, which is Lebanese.
Al Salam, an old favourite, actually.
Yes,
yeah.
They are really good.
Yeah, yeah. And conveniently located, more conveniently located for Corpus Christi, anyway.
Mm, yes. Yeah, so, yeah, there's quite a few in Oxford.
Great. All right, then. So... what about if you want to see something on stage rather than on screen? It looks like a good week for theatre goers. There are two exciting new plays out. So first up, there's Blood Wedding at the Oxford Playhouse, which is on this week until Saturday the 21st. So, and this is by the Oxford Theatre Guild. So they are, I have to tell you, amateur dramatics. Now, I know that's terrible. It summons up images of posers and freaks and people who couldn't act their way out of a wet paper bag. But the Oxford Theatre Guild are actually fantastic, I think.
I think so too. We saw them do, what was it?
Travesties by Tom Stoppard.
Yes, they were very good in that.
Oh, fantastic, yeah. And I've never failed to be impressed by one of their productions. And this is obviously Lorca's classic, I say obviously as though I've read it, Lorca's classic Spanish revenge tragedy. And I expect this one to be Spanishly good, yes.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, that wasn't one of my best.
The puns have started. We got quite a long way through before they started this time.
All right, okay, well, let's go on a strange trip into our next theatre production then.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The Odyssey, you're referring to there, Alan.
Wow, yes. It's almost like I planned it.
The Odyssey is on at Blackwell's Bookshop, which is I still think a great location for plays.
Yeah.
It's on in the Norrington Room in that bit with sort of psychology where it dips down and you all sit around on the bookshelves and there are lots of actors sort of prancing.
You sit on the bookshelves?
Well, no, around, but the actors are on the bookshelves. They kind of leap from bookshelf to bookshelf. It's really cool.
So you saw this?
I did. I saw it last week. Mm-hmm. It was really good fun. It's a really unusual production because it's all improvised. I think they want to kind of go back to the Odyssey's roots as an sort of partly at least improvised story. And so to that end, they have an urn full of little sort of shards, and on each shard is written a sort of kind of like a gimmick, like a thing that they have to incorporate into the next piece.
These are like the audience suggestions in traditional
improvisation. Yeah, so it's like things like in the news, so then they would have to relate the next bit of the story to something that's happened in the news. Or radio play, and then the lights go out and they perform it as a radio play.
You see, that sounds really interesting. So it's different every night, I assume.
Yes, yeah, because I think that's the kind of point that they can't, like, they can't rehearse all the different versions of it, so because the shards could come out in any order.
Do you think they're trying to drum up repeat audiences, you know? Oh, it might be different tomorrow.
Yes. Mm. Well, that's the thing. I don't think it's, you know, it is the same story, and they have consistent characters throughout, even though Odysseus is played by different actors.
Okay.
The other actors are played by the same ones. So I think my only criticism of it would be that because it's broken up so much and there are so many gimmicks in it, it detaches you a little bit from the story.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a bit difficult for the audience to properly sort of emotionally connect with
true, because I have always felt that the story about Odysseus, for example, landing on an island which is inhabited by man-eating cyclopes, massive giants with only one eye, is one of the most immersive and relatable. I mean, haven't we all been there? Am I right?
absolutely.
Well, am I right, guys? You know, cyclopes.
I have to look beyond the one-eyed monster, really, and just it's a story about hospitality and your guests just not obeying the rules of your household, and then course you have to eat them, and then it's just terrible.
That's right. I hate it when my guests stab a sharpened steak into my eye. It absolutely
isn't it so rude.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. Spoilers, by the way. Sorry,
but no, I would really recommend it. It's excellent. Okay. It's really good fun, it's more fun than kind of immersive.
So it's sort of, and you did mention that as a classicist, which I think we now have to mention at least once a show. Yeah, you did get a little bit annoyed by one of the scenes. Am I right?
Oh, they did do a scene in ancient Greek, but obviously they didn't learn actual ancient Greek to perform it, so they were just sort of saying lines from the beginning. But it was fine. That was just me being anal.
Well, I have to say though, if there is any city in the world,
well, yeah, exactly, it's one city when they cannot get away with that.
Yeah, if there is Oxford. Any city where maybe some of the audience members would actually know the ancient Greek, yeah, Oxford's going to be the one, isn't it? Yeah. All right then. Well, a qualified recommendation.
Yes, it was very good. It was nice.
All right. Okay. What else then?
Okay, so we've got some things for the children.
Mm-hmm.
The school holidays have come to an end, but you might still want to take your children out of the weekend and tire them out a bit. So we've got Science Museum Live at the New Theatre on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a show packed with supposedly dangerous but kid-friendly experiments.
Best kind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're performed by a team from London Science Museum.
Oh, great. Yeah, I love the Science Museum in London. Like the thing in the basement, what's it called? Launchpad?
Yes. Oh, where you get to
hands-on experiments. Yeah, oh, yes. I love that sort of stuff.
I remember there being more buttons when I was small, though.
Probably the buttons there were just bigger. So that's
maybe.
Why they stuck more in your memory.
I remember there being so many buttons, like everything being a button you had to press. And now I go there and I just can't see the buttons.
You can't go home again. Every time I go there, they kick me out. No, not really. Like if you go in, like, at least it look like you're not trying to push the kids over there. I think they're very tolerant. But yeah, so this will be taking all the fun of explosions and setting people on fire right to teach your kids. You know, don't try this at home, sort of thing.
Yes.
All right then.
What else is on?
Well, one thing is we don't often mention gigs on this podcast, mainly because there are so many fantastic acts on in Oxford. From both local and touring bands, and so it's difficult to single any one of them out for special praise. But if you do want to hear some great live local music, check out our gigs page on dailyinfo.co.uk. And this week there is one special act. It's a venue that's been a staunch supporter of live gigs in Oxford, and that's the Truck Store on Cowley Road.
Oh, yes.
And they are celebrating Record Store Day this Saturday the 21st.
Oh, okay.
So that's like a big celebration of local record stores who, after all, you know, really can introduce you some great new yeah, great music.
That's nice.
And then there'll be an after party after that at the Cellar, that's in the centre of town, in the evening. So if you want to hear local rockers Kilmurry, The Scholars, Robots with Souls and Coloureds, go and check that one out.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
So, on to our pick of the week. And this was inspired by St. George's Day, which is next Monday.
Yes, that's right, the 22nd or something like that.
Something like that.
Anyway. Yeah, not a holiday, of course. Not a day of national pride, per se, I would argue.
No.
I mean, well, if you compare it to something like, let's say, the Americans with 4th of July, or the French with Bastille Day, those are holidays. They're big deals. You've got, like, fireworks and people going out in the streets and, you know, celebrating their overthrowing mostly English oppression. But St. George's Day is just a lot...
English aren't so into patriotism.
Well, exactly, yeah. Even St. Andrew's Day or St. David's Day are more of an issue. And, of course, St. Patrick's Day is a huge thing. You know, they're an issue because Scotland and Ireland and France and America and places have, I think, much more of a sense of national... enthusiasm.
We just haven't been oppressed enough in the past.
Yes, we have.
We're doing all the oppressing.
Yeah, maybe we could have like a day of national oppression, where we can go out and, you know, celebrate finally having got rid of everyone else. Death Star Day, maybe.
Death Star Day. Mm.
But yeah, so we thought in honour of St. George's Day, what we'd do for our pick of the week this week is just mention briefly a couple of the things that really make us proud to be British, I suppose.
Okay.
And
what
not
makes you proud to be British?
Oh, queuing. I just gotta say, you only realise what you have when you no longer have it. And it was when I went on holiday, and I won't then mention the country, but there was these hordes of Italians, and it was like a waiting for a bus, and the bus doors opened up, and we'd all been standing in a line because that is the orderly formation. No matter where you are, that is the correct and orderly formation. And then they just swarmed at the bus doors, and I didn't know the Italian for, you know, piss off. I was here first, but it just seemed to me to be
You always have to learn that whenever you go somewhere.
Exactly,
really have to learn
that. It's just people make fun of the British for being obsessed with queuing, but. The real point is that we have just an inherent sense of fairness, I think. If you go to a pub, for example, you walk up to the bar, and the barman turns around, who was here first? And everyone knows. Everyone who's waiting knows.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was him. And often you say, no, it was her. She was here first. And I just think that tells us, you know, the British can queue without queuing. We have a mental queue. We keep our order in our heads. And we have a very fair sense of I was here first. Or, no, you were here first, even. And I honestly think that is something that's a little bit admirable, although, of course, also a little bit anal. Speaking of obsessions, national obsessions that are also sources of national prize, what's yours?
Tea.
Tea.
Well, our colleague said breakfast, and I would go with that as well. I think you can have breakfast and tea in the same category there. They're both good. I mean, you can't, like, when you go on holiday to other places, it's sort of the one thing that is never quite right.
God, we're just reinforcing every ugly stereotype,
aren't we here?
We really are. Oh, the British turn up. What do they want? Tea, chips and queues.
Yes.
If only it were raining, they'd truly be happy, yeah.
Absolutely.
I gotta say, I don't understand the national obsession with tea.
Well, you're a strange coffee drinker, aren't you?
I don't drink tea, that's right. I'm pretty sure that my citizenship is going to be revoked as soon as this goes out. But I just don't get it. It's sort of muddy water, basically, as far as I can tell.
I would say coffee is more muddy water. I mean, tea is refreshing when it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's thirst quenching, and but it's also warming when it's cold. It's a nice little warm drink. It just makes you sort of sit there and just go...
We're a nation of addicts, we really are. And we always have been, whether it was coffee houses or chocolate houses or sugar parties during the Georgian days. You know, you get your mates around and have some of this lovely, delicious sugar.
Yeah.
Like sort of, you know, Coke, whatever.
Also, it's just a sociable thing in that we have tea time. So it's not just, you know, a drink to have. It's a kind of, it's like going to the pub almost. The pub, that's another thing that's English and that's should be national pride.
That's true, actually.
A good
pint, yeah. That's true, isn't it? I mean, they have the cafe culture, which is all very nice. But there is a certain, I don't know, it's the great social leveller, isn't it? You know, no matter where you go, you can probably find a pub. Anywhere in Britain, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And in a sense...
And everyone, you sort of go in there and you know what's sort of expected.
Exactly. There's a certain unspoken pub etiquette that carries over from anywhere from Chelsea to... I don't know how to finish the sentence.
Can't think anywhere else.
Blackbird Leeds. but yeah, so there we go. Two daily info picks of the week. In fact, more than a few. We've got teas, pubs, queues.
Breakfasts.
God. So there we go. Happy St. George's Day.
Happy St. George's Day.
And have a nice cup of tea on us. I've been Alwyn Collinson.
I've been Emma Pearson.
And this is Daily Info Soxcast.